Hi, and I hope it's not too early for me to have misgivings. As most of you can surely tell just by looking at me. Oh, wait. I am neither musician nor comedian. They are a species apart, towering above us ordinary folk. Giants bestride the age, like colossi or colossuses, depending on whether you are educated or American, or like Ozymandias, the before picture. An image you might want to heed if you happen to be both American and attached to that idea. If you are educated, you know better. I, on the other hand, am a simple ethnomusicologist, devoting what is left of my life, or as I like to call it these days, my allotted carbon footprint, to the question of Ottoman blind squirrel Dietz, a mid-20th century musician. Note the air quotation marks, from Central Virginia. The question has been most eloquently and succinctly articulated by his brother Nehemiah C. as a strangled, "Why? Just why?" Nehemiah C. has also on occasion followed his question with what seems to be its most reasonable answer. His response is Zen-like, both in its profundity and in its frustrating simplicity, and he typically frames it in the following manner. He gazes into the distance, nods his head briefly, then shakes his head and looks at the ground. He looks back at the horizon, sucks air into his mouth through the gap between his front teeth, thusly, exhales, and shakes his head again before he says, with an air of resignation, "Because you just never know." There are those who still say, and Dietz is chief among them, that he is possessed of the visionary spirit. But the man grew up in Richmond among such musical giants as Brian Bowers, Duck Baker, Amy Mann, Jason Mraz, Cracker, Gwar, Alabama Thunder Pussy, that woman who sang Hit Me With Your Best Shot, and Single Bullet Theory. I mean, my God, Wayne Newton was born just down the road in Roanoke, and Jimmy Dean is decomposing under an oversized white marble piano just across the river in Verina as I speak. Why Dietz didn't make more of himself, given such influences, is among the mysteries that taunt me. This afternoon, I will present what I call Love Ostensibly, the Blind Squirrel Love Cycle. These are four songs that illustrate with unerring, and some who have been more directly involved in their inspiration might say chilling, accuracy, both the progression of relationships and Dietz's attitude toward them. We'll start off at the very inkling of romance, which is also an opportunity for Dietz to show what, for most folks less possessed of his visionary spirit, would be their worst. If you, the audience, can weather this one, it's relatively smooth sailing from here on. This work reveals Dietz's underlying and utter lack of connection with his emotions, and if that weren't quite enough, he tops it off with intimations of petty crime and animal cruelty, which should have resulted in his immediate incarceration and very public condemnation by PETA. Now, he does make an attempt at the very end to redeem himself, but by then it is too late. And in the opinion of most, if not all, okay, all experts in the field, way too little. It might be love.
I've been laid low by a curse, but if you ask my friends, they're gonna say that it's something worse. They ask too many questions, they don't believe that I have a chance. They've been sly suggestions. They say the devil's in my pants. They say it's love.
People saying that it might be love.
They say it's love.
People telling me it might be love.
They say it's love. A bewitching one of them two-bit off-brand hexes that's been cooked up in the kitchen by the most opposite of sexes. But it might be love.
Something's cooking and it might be love.
It might be love.
Don't want to look at it. It might be love.
It might be love. Get out to Mama Joe's. Get her to jumpstart that heart until it's ticking. Get it to tell us what it knows. It might just be an enemy, but then it really might be the end. It could be a gal, some little femme fatale who wants to be more than a friend. Love. It might be love.